welcome into another edition of Woods and Water, South Carolina. The weather is just about right. I tell you what, if you haven't been out to see the leaves, you best get out there this afternoon, because I think the winds are supposed to kick up to 20, 30 miles an hour tomorrow, and you can bet all the leaves will be on the ground come Monday morning. So you have your marching orders for this afternoon. Get out and see the leaves. I hope you're having a great day. You're listening to 94.5 WGTK in Greenville. Wow. It's been a long day. It's been a long day. Most normal people sleep in on Saturday mornings and, you know, get up and leisurely eat their breakfast and get ready. No, this morning at 4:45, I was up. I got in the car, rode down to Green Pond Landing because Palmetto Boat Center had another high school tournament this morning. 60 boats. Incredible. And so went to launch. I actually got out on the launch boat and had all the kids come by. I just took a ton of pictures because they enjoyed the pictures I took at Riley's Cup a couple weeks ago. So I said, well, why not? They're right here. Got to see Neil, got to see Marty again. And then I got out on the boat, a boat with a guy that Marty Walker set me up with. I kid you not, Dick Clark. Richard Clark, but he goes by Dick. And just real nice gentleman, Louisiana born, lived in Phoenix, Arizona, now lives on Lake Harville. So he, about 2 hours, went around taking pictures and talking to kids, fishing and all. It was just a pretty good time. So it's already been a long day. I'm going on almost 12 hours. So we'll make it through one way or the other. Today, we're going to talk to Alan Kirkpatrick from the Western North Carolina Fly Fishing Expo, which is happening December 1st and 2nd. Yep, at the Western North Carolina Ag Center up there around the airport. I better check this. I hope it's still up there. WNC Ag Center, Nashville, North Carolina, right there at the airport. I caught up with Casey Ashley this week. So at the bottom of the hour, we're going to listen to he and I talk a little bit about last year and upcoming year. I guess he's calling in. He's texting in wanting to know what time he's supposed to call in. Yes. So that'll be in the third part. And the fourth part, it'll be really short because Casey and I, we get on the phone. We just kind of run on a little bit. I have no problem talking, and neither does he. We always have a good time. I've stayed away from the football thing. I have grown to love college football. I guess for maybe 6 or 7 years now, when my niece started going to Alabama. I started keeping up with football there. And of course I got a niece that went to Clemson and mine's at CSU, and I got another niece at Clemson now. So, college football's good, but the pros, I haven't watched a pro game even the Super Bowl. Seriously, who watches the Super Bowl? We watch it for the ads, you know? And then you're eating and talking in between, and everybody quiets down when the ads come on because you want to see the ads. But with pro football doing what they're doing, whatever side you take on this issue, I got a challenge for you. And I wanted to do this several weeks ago and just have not had the opportunity. I apologize for that. Take the time you're sitting around watching pro football and go outside. I heard somebody talking on a news talk show, like a national show the other day, and it says, it looks like Americans are reevaluating where they spend their time. And I thought, absolutely. A good time to reevaluate how you spend your time. You're going into the end of 1 year, you're going to start a new year. There is, nobody frames the picture of your kids playing video games, or nobody frames a picture of you on your laptop computer. I'm staring at mine right now, but it's necessary evil right now. That's not the stuff that people have on their nightstands, on their desks at work. Those are pictures that, traditionally are fishing pictures or a waterfall hike or something. I'm going to challenge you if you're in the mode of boycotting NFL football or reevaluating the time where you spend it. And especially this week, look, the food comas have already started. I just had one Thanksgiving lunch, courtesy of a sponsor of this show, Tri-State Glass. They had a meeting and a big lunch afterwards, and I went down there and ate way too much. So the food coma's already started on this end, and I'm sure, Thursday I've got two more to eat. I'm sure a lot of you listening have one, two, three, maybe four. you know, we don't need an excuse to get out and go get some exercise. We're going to eat ourselves into it this week. But reevaluate your time. You know, what's important? Time with, you know, kids growing up, mine growing up, you know, I've missed opportunities to go and do things with mine as much as I try to get outside with them and try to do things with them. You know, I'm not going to talk about fly fishing. You know, there's a, well, we'll get into that. Hopefully we'll bring it up, but if we don't, I'll tell you later on. You know, there's just, there was 360 boats down at Marty's tournament this morning on Hartwell. That's 720 kids, give or take a few. 360 adults who are boat captains driving the boat for these kids. You got parents, grandparents. I mean, I passed, I came back in the parking lot about 10:30 and there's parents asleep in their cars, you know, waiting on 3 o'clock weigh in. You know, there's just so much more we could be doing outside. You know, we've got, well, right here in the Andrew Pickens Ranger District, there's 85,000 acres in Oconee County. This national forest. Any of you ever been up there? Upper Chattooga Wild and Scenic River Boating. You know, goodness gracious alive. Popular attractions in this district include hunting, fishing, hiking, fall color sightseeing, camping, horseback riding, whitewater floating on the Wild and Scenic Chattooga River. You've got the Sumter National Forest and the Francis Marion National Forest, two others in the state. All of them. You know, hiking, biking, fishing, hunting. You know, the Intercoastal Waterway in at Buck Hall down in the Francis Marion is a great place to go. Paddle, hunt, fish, three rivers on the Ennery Ranger District. There are 9 rifle ranges on U.S. Forest Service property here in South Carolina. It's pretty cool. A human-made shell ring built 4,000 years ago. There's fishing rodeos coming up in the spring. Just incredible. It's just, you know, you go to any of these websites, click on an interactive map to locate the district you'd like to visit. You know, it's just a time, I think, where ending one year, going into a new year, you know, I hate New Year's resolutions. New Year's intentions. Resolutions just, it's too easy to break them. I just make them all the time. But, you know, plan out next year. Plan out some outdoor adventures. Plenty of places to go where they'll set you up with what you need. Rent what you need instead of buy it just to see if you like it. Stores like the local hiker over in Spartanburg set you up for camp and stuff. You know, I don't know. I'm rambling. Anyway, all this to say, this week we're going to eat ourselves in the food compass. Why not this weekend? You get off the couch. Find you a place to go, hike some, bike some, fish some, sightsee, go get you some boiled peanuts, run your wife out of the car. My kids love them. My wife hates them. But go. Go. Hey, real quick, 2 things on the calendar of events. And I'll make this real quick. Brought to you by Visit Anderson, Green Pond Landing and Event Center where I was this morning. The upcoming Bassmaster Classic is coming up. These are big events. On Lake Hartwell in Greenville, March 16th to 18th next year. It's going to be good. Casey and I are going to talk just a little bit about that. And then the other big one here in the state is the Palmetto Sportsman. Well, SeaWee. Of course, SeaWee is coming up. That is going to be February 16th, 17th, and 18th in Charleston. And then you got the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic, March 23rd, 24th, 25th in Columbia at the State Fairgrounds. Just a couple things to, we'll be talking about a lot more about those as they're coming up. But anyway, hang on through the break. We're going to catch up with Alan Kirkpatrick from the Western North Carolina Fly Fishing Expo, December 1st and 2nd. You can win a couple of tickets here. Keep listening. See you on the other side. Paul, you're gonna put me to sleep, bud. Look, I am a lineman for the county. You know, that is when I pull up YouTube, that is like the first or second one that pulls up in my list of most watched or whatever. What a musician. Hey, fly fishing. I love it. You know, if you try it, you'll fall in love with it too. But we've got Alan Kirkpatrick on the phone. Alan is the director of the Western North Carolina Fly Fishing Expo. Reba McIntyre was ran that for years and years and left us for the wide open spaces of the West and the larger trout. Alan's taken over. Alan, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Thanks so much. Really great to be with you and your listeners.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you taking time out on Saturday to be here. Hey, have you read that Harvard Medical School study about fly fishing being as best at better stress relief than yoga?
Yes, I have. It's we're actually having a presenter at the expo who is a licensed clinical social worker, and she runs, her name's Star Nolan, and she runs a nonprofit that reaches out to cancer patients and cancer survivors with fly fishing. And she's going to speak essentially on that study and the benefits of fly fishing. There's something about it that is really, really good with people with essentially PTSD or,
yes,
you know, the post-trauma of a cancer diagnosis.
Yeah, and that's is that Casting Carolinas?
That's Casting Carolinas. Very good. Yep. And so the research is very good. I have not seen research on spin fishing, but I would think it'd be very, very similar.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, look, I ask everybody to do this when they come on the show for the first time. So take just a moment and tell us about yourself.
So I'm an Asheville guy, and I spend a lot of time in the upstate. My cousin Helen Correll is a great artist there in Spartanburg, and I enjoy spending time in the upstate. Wife, two kids. I love to fly fish, and this is my first year running the expo, and I'm really looking forward to folks coming out.
That's great. Well, let's let them know. When is it going to take place?
So the expo takes place December 1st and 2nd, so it's Friday and Saturday, at the Western North Carolina Agricultural Center, which is right across the street from the Asheville Airport. So fairly close to the upstate there.
Yeah.
Friday hours are noon to 7 in the evening. And then we're going to have like a bit of a social, which I'll tell you a little bit more in a bit.
Okay.
Goes till 8. And then Saturday, we're 9 to 4.
Very good. What all, I mean, I'm sure you're going to tell me, but somebody can come in there who has never picked up a fly rod and can walk out ready to go, you know, get themselves started. And the guy who ties his number 26 or whatever midges for wintertime fishing can go up there and get all the stuff he needs to tie more 26 midges, right?
That's right. So we have the Fly Fishing Expo structured so that it's great for brand new people to the sport and people who are full-blown experts. So we have 10 expert presenters that are going to present each day through the expo, Friday and Saturday, and the topics range from perfect beginner, like how in the world do I get into this, and
okay,
how would I make the transition from spin fishing to fly fishing, or just pick up, add fly fishing to my, you know, to my toolkit of outdoor sport.
Okay.
And as well as, you know, folks that really have been at it for 20 years and want to hear, you know, some really smart technical geek out on fly fishing stuff.
Yeah, there's one here, and I'm not so sure you can teach this class, Secrets to Success on the Davidson River.
Man, I tell you what, I talked to Kevin Howell, who is the operator at Davidson River Outfitters. He asked me what I could, I asked him to speak, and he said, what could I speak on? And I said, look, a lot of people want to know the secrets to the Davidson River. And so he's going to give a few tips there, and that's a tricky, tricky spot to fish.
Oof.
But, man, those are big, beautiful fish.
Those are some educated fish in that river.
They are. They see a lot of anglers, and we hope to get a few secrets from Kevin. He promises to give us some good intel on that river.
I see another one in here, an overview of the state's trout waters and North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission trout management activities. That ought to be pretty interesting to people who want to know where to go and what seasons are there, what kind of stream designations they have and all.
You know, you're right. So Jacob Rash, he's on the staff with the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission, and he's the cold water research coordinator. So this guy knows about every inch of cold water in Western North Carolina, and he's going to kind of overview all of their activities in the western part of the state. He's also going to speak about the economic impacts of trout fishing in North Carolina.
Didn't I just see a study that was released on that in the last couple of weeks?
You did. It was a great piece of research. They paid an independent group to do. And it really highlights the importance of trout in this region. It's a part of our character. It's really part of our personality. Whether you're a fisher person or not, what we see in the research is that people are really attracted to that. You know, people, whether they're outdoors people or not, they love that people are enjoying the outdoors, and they get to kind of enjoy it kind of at an extension when they come here.
Absolutely. Well, tell us, what are some of your top picks for the expo this time around?
You know, we always have beginner classes, and there's going to be a booth just for beginners that has a lot of great resources on where to go, what to use, and how to get into it. But, you know, we're going to have 60, 65 booths there, and most every one of those booths would be super happy to talk to people about getting started into fly fishing. That shops and guide services love meeting brand new people, so they're real friendly, and they'd love, you know, they obviously want to get your business.
Sure.
And you establish a relationship with them, and I love picking their brain. I'm 15 years on fly fishing.
All right.
And I ask more questions than the typical customer, I guarantee you. So I am not afraid to look like a newbie, because every piece of water is a little different.
Sure.
And fly fishing is something that you can essentially learn in 10 minutes and really, really enjoy it. And you can spend an absolute lifetime learning how to do it as well. It's kind of like golf in that way. It changes through your life, and you can get better and better and more fun and more fun. And I just can't get away from it.
I know what you mean. I get in trouble because I go hiking with my family, and you know, by now they just kind of roll their eyes when they see me packing waders and fly rods and all that.
Right.
Because I know, yeah, Dad's taking us to the mountains to go hiking, but he's going trout fishing.
Yeah, so my wife shoots me a look every time we go out to the woods, and she's learned to peek in the trunk before we leave to make sure that either my gear is there or not, depending on whether I've gotten the green light to go or not.
I hear you. Well, you're going to see, you got manufacturers from rod to line to, oh man, to clothing, Sims, you know,
yeah.
Orvis,
yeah.
Patch Loop. I mean, the fly shops, Tuckasegee, River's Edge.
So there's going to be about 10 fly shops there, yeah. From around the region, all the way over to Murphy and close to here, and from Boone. And each of those, you know, all those little counties and neighborhoods, they really have unique parts about fishing there. And the people in those shops are more than happy to give you the local intelligence on,
sure,
on what to do there and that. The manufacturers love coming. They love meeting new customers and refer them over to a local shop that sells their stuff. And so it really is a friendly environment, and everyone there wants to help. And everyone that comes there either just wants to have fun with friends that love to fish, or they want to get a little piece of information that'll help them have more fun the next time they go fishing.
Tell me, is the guy that makes the bamboo rods going to be there?
Yeah, we're going to have several of those. I tell you what, if you've never casted a bamboo rod, you owe it to yourself to do that. I mean, whether you're a lifelong, you know, graphite fly fisherman, or a spin fisherman that's never cast a bamboo a fly rod ever before, these things, they feel it's kind of weird sounding, but it kind of feels like super natural and
oh,
super
yeah.
like a connection to the real world. It's really neat to do.
It is neat to do. And you can, I was up there, I believe last year, and it's probably spent 45 minutes just talking to him because it's just an amazing art.
You know, people that, you know, it's like people that they get into a hobby and they get really good at it and they have the extended pleasure of giving that hobby to someone else to enjoy for, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
Those fly rods, those bamboo rods are like an heirloom. They get passed down from, you know, generation to generation. They're pretty darn neat.
Absolutely. Well, we talked earlier and you got a couple of tickets for me to give away today?
Absolutely. Would love to give 2 tickets away to your visitors there. I'm sorry, your listeners. And however you want to go about that,
well,
that's fine with me.
I just say caller number 1 to 877-235-9405 gets a free pair of tickets to the Western North Carolina Fly Fishing Expo. And Paul's hurriedly in there putting on his glasses and earphones and getting ready for callers. Thank you, Alan. Again, anything you want to hammer on right here at the last?
You know, I've got a couple of itineraries that I think would be great for an upstate angler to come up here and see this Friday. You know, we go till 7 p.m. So maybe get off work an hour early, come see a couple of speakers that do slideshows on more of the technical aspect and see all the booths and then have barbecue beer and BS with us.
All right.
We're going to have a little social. We're going to talk some fishing and just be a fun, relaxed time on a Friday evening. That's going to go till 6:30 to 8.
All right.
But if you can't squeeze out of work on a Friday, come on Saturday. And what you ought to do is come up to the expo in the morning. We open at 9.
Okay.
Spend 3 or 4 hours at the expo.
All right.
And then stroll just 15, 20 minutes down the road and fish the Davidson River.
There you go. Alan, I appreciate you being on the show today. I look forward to seeing you when I get up there either Friday or Saturday. And I hope it's a success your first year out.
Man, thanks so much. I really appreciate being on your show with you and your listeners.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Alan.
Yes, sir.
All right, folks, there you go. But, yeah, first caller, 2 tickets to the Western North Carolina Fly Fishing Expo. Own the Fly Fishing Expo itself, 877-235-9405. Hang on through the break. We're going to talk to Casey Ashley when we come back with more Woods and Water South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It is always an honor to have him on the show. He is our Donald South Carolina Bassmaster Elite Pro, Casey Ashley. He's defending classic champ on Lake Hartwell coming up here in a few months. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Roger. How you doing?
Let's get the important stuff out of the way.
All right.
Deer season.
Deer season, I'm kind of getting to watch deer season blow by as the wind blows. For some reason, I really don't have nothing going on, but it seems like I'm too busy to go hunting.
I understand. I know you hadn't got anything here at home, but you got a pretty good one in Louisiana.
I did. I got to go on a 3-day hunt and killed a giant, I mean, freak nasty 8-pointer. And actually, a buddy of mine killed one even bigger than that. So it was a good trip.
That thing... How big were the bases on that thing?
He had 38 inches of mass. His beams were 25 inches apiece, and they went straight up. So he's gonna have to be mounted pretty low on the wall.
I was fixing to say that or on a gable end, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, well, that's important stuff. That deer hunting. But also, hey, I guess you could give us a low country fishing report too, couldn't you?
Yeah, I have spent a little time on the coast, which I always do in the month of October.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always good, man. That's a trip to just ease your mind and get away from everything and just go catch fish and have fun.
That's an end of the season relaxing thing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And little man got his first redfish this year?
He did. He caught 3 actually and a stingray. I think he was more excited for the stingray than he was the redfish, but just, man, he had a ball. We went crabbing, you know, catching crabs old school with a string.
Right.
Scoop them up with a net. Yeah, he had fun.
That is great. That's, you know, I'm sure after a year of being here, there, gone for a while, back home, gone for 2 or 3 weeks and all. That is a great family trip, and I'm glad you guys get to do it every year. It's fun to look at the pictures after you, after it's over.
It is. The good thing about saltwater, you can go catch them pretty much whenever you want to. I mean, they actually bite.
They do.
They're not like bass where you got to work for them. If you know where they're at the right tide, I mean, you can go catch them, and it's a ball.
As long as the water's moving, you can pretty much find fish.
Absolutely.
Last year, good year. Wouldn't you say overall a good year?
Yep, it was definitely a good year.
Sixth place. Best year I've had. Yeah. Cherokee 61st. Man, the water was low at. Is that normal up there for it to be that low?
It is. Those lakes, they keep them pretty low in the winter pool. But I really screwed up. That's the term that I screwed up the worst on was the first one.
Yeah.
But that's neither. I can't go back and change
sure.
it. Just learn from it.
Yeah. Okeechobee 31st through the Classic in there, which I enjoyed riding with you. I appreciate you letting me tag along for a day down there.
Yep, that was a good time.
Yeah, it was a fun time. Sorry I couldn't bring any more than three fish that day.
Hey, that was a tough place, I tell you. The people that saw the weigh-ins, you know, they say that's a good lake. But if you step back and look at the big picture, you know, all the way down the list of all the guys that didn't catch them, that shows you how tough it was.
Yeah, and a bathtub, too. Those seawalls.
Oh, absolutely.
You told me it was going to be rough, and I was like, yeah, okay. Whatever.
But that's Lake Hartwell, July the 4th on steroids.
Just a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Awful. Toledo being fourth place. Good finish there. Ross Barnett for 34th. Texas Fest down on Sam Rayburn 13th. Dardanella another 13. You were on a roll there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
8th at St. Lawrence, 35th Champlain, 53rd on St. Clair, and 44th on the Angler E. And you were there by then. You were just coasting, really, weren't you?
Yeah. You know, I'd already had my goal set. The Classic was all that was on my mind. All that other stuff was a bonus after that, you know, those last tournaments. And it's good to fish that way and try to get as many points as you can going into those last events so you don't feel the pressure as you've got to catch them to get up in that Classic cut. So that makes it even better.
Sure. I mean, look at what Steve Kennedy and those. I mean, it was after the whole end of the season they figured out they were finally in. I mean, that's a year of grinding it out. I hate to say that. But, you know, those guys down the bottom, it's a tough life to live down there.
It is. And people, you know, that watch and then follow, you always watch the top. You know, everybody wants to see who wins and
sure.
who's doing this and who's doing that. But I can promise you, there's an even bigger battle down there about 35th. Well, I'd say 33rd through 43rd.
Yep.
I mean, that's the guys on the front line right there.
They are scratching and clawing for every ounce they can get.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. You had a great line, and I don't know which tournament it was. You were on Bass Live or whatever, and it had to have been a smallmouth lake because I think you got fed up with smallmouth and started going largemouth fishing, and you were, you know, flipping some willows or whatever and started catching some largemouth. And the quote you had, which is just, it's classic. It's like Novocaine, just give it a little time.
That's right. That's right. That came off of, Remember the Titans.
Yeah, is that where it is?
Yep. That was a line off of the Remember the Titans movie.
It was a great line applied to bass fishing because, you know, you really don't. Do you like smallmouths, or you just kind of tolerate them?
I tolerate them. You know, I'm learning more and more about them as I fish the tour. But we don't have smallmouth. I mean, we
right.
got some in the rivers here down in Columbia. You know, but you can't go down and make yourself even any better to understand them. So I'm learning as I go. And that final day, I was in second place going into the final day, and the wind changed out of the north. All my fish left. And I just had to go do what I knew and catch largemouth. And it took me a little while because I wound up chasing smallmouth too long. I was running short on time. And, you know, the largemouth wasn't really set up like they were in practice. I hadn't fished for them in 4 days.
Okay.
You know? And, you know, finally I figured a little deal out on those willows and didn't blast them, but I saved the day.
Yep.
And looking back on that, I wish I would have just started doing that, you know. But my granddaddy always said, the best lesson learned is a hard lesson learned.
That's the one you remember. Those are the ones you remember. The experience is a tough teacher, you know?
Absolutely.
Sound like your granddaddy and mine were a lot alike. Great year. I can't wait to see you in the Classic, and I don't think anybody's going to jinx anything saying you're the front runner, and at least here around home, everybody wants you to repeat. But going into next year, there's something that's changed as far as the rules go. I kind of understand it. I've done a little reading on it. Explain to us a little bit about this no information rule, how it's been, and what the changes are going forward.
Well, it's just now starting.
Okay.
It had nothing to do with last year.
Right. That's right.
So we don't really know, and it's changing every day.
Oh, I mean, really?
There's guys bringing stuff up. You know, they've now made loopholes in the deal. Certain lakes won't go off limits to certain dates just because, you know, Bass is a big organization. They have other tournaments beside the Elite Series.
Okay.
Some of them, you know, will qualify for the Classic and or for the Elite Series. So they had to take those lakes where they've got tournaments coming up and, you know, not make them off limits because it wouldn't be fair to the whole deal.
Okay.
But basically, I like it.
Okay.
You know, it's you can go practice. Me as an individual can go practice on any of the lakes on the schedule next year as much as I want by myself. Nobody can be with me with any knowledge of the lake. So this year, nor can you talk to anybody about it.
Okay.
You cannot receive any information ever. There's still the 30-day off-limits rule.
Okay.
As always.
All
so
right.
That 30 days out, I can't be on the water. But it's kind of hard on me. You know, I grew up fishing with my dad, and during the off season, that's kind of the time we get to go fishing.
Oh,
so,
man.
I can't go to Hartwell. I can't talk about it with him. You know, just that makes it hard just because the Classic's there.
Yeah.
Now, we can go to Russell, Clark's Hill, and
sure,
all that stuff, but it's just hard to. I've always talked fishing with my daddy.
Right.
You know, just not necessarily information. You just talk about it.
Sure.
Hey, I caught one on this stump over here, you know, just a 5-pounder, just stuff that you see on the water, but I can't even do that. So that kind of throws a wrench in it for everybody.
Okay.
They did go back and say that if your children were under the age of 18, you can be on the water, and it's basically for the high school fishing team.
Okay.
So they can take their kids out, be the boat captain, whatever.
Right.
So like I said, it's a good rule. I like it. They're basically trying to make it to where it's an even playing field.
Okay.
And everybody gets theirs on the same page. Couldn't call your buddy that's the local hammer on the lake there and get all of his waypoints and show up. You've got 900 places to run and everybody else has no clue.
So no.
I've dealt with that a lot through my career. But you know, there's one side and there's the other. I mean, a lot of guys do a lot better when they don't have any information. And I've always said that I like to show up somewhere and not have a clue. And so it's really going to help me. Some guys that are probably hurt. But I like it. And all in all, I don't know how they're going to enforce it. It's going to be tough, but I do like the road that they're trying to get down.
I got you. Yeah. The enforcement's always the tough part. You can make the rule. It's, you know, how do you enforce it and how do you go back 6 months or however long before a tournament and say, did you get any information back then? You know,
that's, right.
But yeah, I just the no information. Look, if you're going to fish the Elite Series, you go put the time in, you go do the practice, or you show up blind and figure it out, you know, in practice for the tournament, mm-hmm, and you make it what it is rather than rely on somebody else. I think, yeah, I agree with you. I think I kind of like it.
Yeah, I like it the way it is. You know, there's another old saying, you know, about locking a door or closing a window or, you know, not latching the gate on the cow pasture.
Right.
You blindfold them. So with that, you keep an honest man out.
Sure.
Is the saying, you know. So them making the rule is going to have everybody at least thinking about,
sure,
I can't do this. I can't do that. And I'll give you this. I mean, everybody looks at professional fishing, and a lot of guys fish on the weekends, and a lot of guys try to bend the rules. But I can tell you one thing. I've heard so many times about guys being on the water or off the water, and, you know, a lot of times we don't have enough marshals to fish.
Right. I've heard that, yeah.
And they will turn themselves in if they do something wrong. So these are not like your guys looking for every angle that they can to do something that's going to advantage them over the rest of the field. I mean, they're honest.
Sure.
And there's even guys that have been in situations to where they was in a store and somebody just come up, started blabbing at the mouth about what's going on at the next tournament or at a show.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll call in and say, hey, look, this happened. I couldn't help it. You know, and that's fine. That's not what the rule's for. The rule is to keep you from soliciting information.
Gotcha. Yeah, we've had those. So I've heard those people walk up to you and start telling you about what's happening on the Lake of the Boat Show, and you kind of just smile. And
yeah, I mean, it comes a point to where there's a point where you can stop them, but you try not to be a butt to them.
Sure.
There's a fine line there. But once it goes so far, you just basically have to say, hey, man, you got to stop. I can't talk about this.
That's right. And they understand at that point. You kind of say, look, this is where it is.
They do.
Oh, man. Looking forward to next year.
I am.
Briefly.
Yeah. We got an interesting schedule. I will say that.
Okay.
We're going to some places that we have been, but different times of year, which
right.
I like. And we've got some new stuff on the schedule.
Sure.
The only one that I see right now that I'm the most worried about is the Sabine River tournament. The big hurricane flooded
right.
everything, probably tore a lot of stuff up. We can only fish half the water. We can't fish Louisiana anymore.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
But is that because of that ownership of the water?
Yep.
Deal that just went through a couple years ago?
Yep. They just went ahead and said, no, we're not dealing with that. So it's Texas only.
Texas only.
And it fished small to begin with, and there's not that many fish down there. So so with the hurricane, half the water, you know, that's kind of a scary tournament.
Oh. Maybe that's your throwaway.
There ain't going to be no throwaways,
no throwaways
in the Elite Series.
Okay. I guess next year the big one is the Classic coming back
it
to
is.
Hartwell. Gonna be a different tournament this year.
It's gonna be totally different. I mean, everybody, you know, everybody that I see, just like you said, so they pulling for me and all that. And if it was a month earlier, like it was before, you know, I would feel very confident about it because I love to fish in cold weather.
Right.
Being in March. Man, it could be cold. It could be snowing. You
yeah.
know how our weather is here.
Sure.
I mean, you just never know. But last year at this time, they were spawning, you know, at that time.
That's right.
And if that happens, it's going to be a slugfest. Everybody's going to catch them, and it'll be hard to win. But I can guarantee you there ain't nobody on the water will be trying any harder than I will.
I'm sure. And you are definitely our favorite. Man, can't wait to see you out there on the water fishing again in front of your hometown crowd. It's got to be, you know, just from a standpoint of seeing all those people out there and the Casey signs and all that, it's got to be, I can't imagine. It's got to be good, though.
It is. It's really good. I mean, a lot of those people have never met me. They may have met me in passing just from living in a small town like I do live in.
Yep.
You know, our whole area is pretty small.
Yeah.
We live in a good place. Everybody's friendly. Everybody knows everybody. But at least you get to see that, you know, all the fans that follow you that you didn't even know followed you. And it's a special time. Whether I win or lose or finish dead last, it's going to be a special classic.
You got a lot of people in the boat with you, whether you know it or not, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Hey, and on the water.
And on the water. That's right. That's right. Look, I gotta tell you, we really appreciate you being part of the Bass Class coming up here next month. That is something that Neil has worked hard on. We enjoy putting it on. I know the kids love it. And I want to thank you for being a part of it, agreeing to come up, spend a day, you know, imparting some of that knowledge that you've got to those kids. And we're not asking, you know, specific when you're on Hartwell, look for this, but just, you know, being up in front of them as an example of what they can aim for is great, and we appreciate it.
It's going to be a good event. That's something pretty special that y'all have come up with, you know, getting those kids there and not only talking about fishing and professional fishing, but, you know, all the other stuff that goes with it, like the little career deal that y'all do.
Yep.
And having industries come in that you don't have to fish to work in the fishing industry. You know, that's the biggest part of it. Just letting the kids know that their options are out there. And, you know, my whole deal, anytime I speak to kids, is education should be first and foremost in whatever you do.
Right.
You got the rest of your life to fish, and the high school kids, you know, I love the high school deal. I helped start one at my school that I graduated from, but you know, the one thing that I preach to them from day one, and I'll do it every time I speak to young kids, the fishing team is not your way out of sports.
Right.
Sports teach you so much about life that you don't really understand until it's over, you know, and you've grown up and gone out into the world. Fishing, you're by yourself. I mean, yeah, you're learning how to fish, but you're not learning those life lessons that the old hard-nosed ball coach is going to teach you.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
You can play ball in school and still fish on the weekends.
Sure.
I mean, I did it my whole life.
Yeah. My basketball coach was an old Korean War veteran. I mean, he still looked like he was in Korea, you know. And you know, he taught you to step on the other guy's toe when you went up for a rebound and, you know, just
all the
old hard-nosed stuff. If the guy reaches in with the wrong hand, drop your shoulder and knock him over, you know?
Yep. and it teaches you that not only the stuff, it just teaches you about life lessons. I mean, if kids don't understand that sports is about, you know, working with a team, and, you know, if you don't do your job, then you let this guy down.
That's right.
You've always got to answer for whatever it is that you did wrong, or not necessarily did wrong, but you need to work on it.
Yeah. You know, the biggest thing I see come out of fishing and sports and all, these kids that go on, they're going to have the ability to make a decision. You know, so many kids now, they don't have to make decisions. Parents make them for them. But when you're out there fishing, or you're out there on the baseball diamond or the basketball, you got to make a decision in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to help these kids as they go down the road of life.
It does. That's the biggest thing about it. And, you know, that's what I preach to them. I fish my whole, since I was 10 years old, I've been fishing tournaments with my daddy.
Yep.
Every weekend.
Yep.
In the summertime, we fish Wednesday, Friday, Saturday night. And sometimes we fish tournaments Saturday and then fish night tournaments on Saturday night. So, you know, I've done it, but I played all three sports in high school.
Yep.
And that's what I try to tell the kids, you know, don't sit around on the couch and play video games till Saturday gets here so you can go fishing.
That's,
you know,
right.
Stay involved.
Yep. And you're going to be teamed up with Marty Robinson, and that ought to be a great class. I know Neil and I have talked about sitting in on that one for a couple of minutes here.
They're definitely going to get some laughs.
I saw Marty last night at basketball practice, and I was looking at him talking. I was like, oh, boy, these kids are in for a treat.
Yeah. Marty's a good boy. He's like my brother. We've been traveling together now for about 15 years. So.
Wow. Another great South Carolina angler.
Absolutely.
Our state's got some really good ones.
We do. It's because our lakes are so versatile.
That's it.
That's what I tell everybody.
Yeah. Well, look, I appreciate you taking a few minutes of your time. Sorry you didn't get to go out deer hunting this morning, but Thanksgiving's coming up.
Hey, there's always tomorrow.
That's right. Thanks, Casey Ashley. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Roger. Y'all have a good one.
So we'll do it. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I apologize to the callers who called in. We lost the phones or something. We couldn't answer them. If you want two tickets to the Western North Carolina Fly Fishing Expo, December the 1st and 2nd, call 877-235-9405. Right now, first caller gets two tickets. I'm sorry. I apologize to the other callers. And if I can't get anybody in by the end of the show, we'll do something on Facebook. Lost my train of thought. My wife just texted me and said CSU beat Liberty for the fourth time straight. Liberty was supposed to walk all over Charleston Southern, but they didn't. Last minute field goal won it. Thanksgiving's coming up. However you celebrate it, whatever story you tell around the table, you got to remember Sarah Josepha Hale, a journalist and sometime poet, the author of Mary Had a Little Lamb. It was her crusade as editor of the magazine Godet's Ladies Book that finally established Thanksgiving Day as a national holiday. She editorialized, peppered state governors with letters, and in 1863 prevailed on President Lincoln to make this day a national day of Thanksgiving. So Thursday, not for the first time nor the last time, a nation gives thanks. Let's see. High school bass class coming up December 15th to the 17th. If you know a high school angler, a high school team, middle school team, get in touch with Neil Paul at Visit Anderson or me at Woods and Water, South Carolina. We're going to have, you heard Casey and Marty Robinson are going to be in a class together. Brandon Cobb's going to be there. Brian Latimer's going to be there. Britt Myers is going to be there. Jordan Lee, 2018 Bassmaster Classic champion, is going to be our keynote speaker Friday night. Randy Howell is coming in Sunday morning to give us a short address. Saturday morning is going to start off with Department of Natural Resources classes, Sunday's Career Day and Industry Day with Shimano. Going to be a good time. And if you haven't read the news lately, Peak Rock Capital, which is Lou's, bought Strike King. That'll make you go, Lou's Pro is going to be using Strike King. Strike King going to have to lose Lou's. There's a lot of big Strike King people that are Quantum and Daiwa people, too. Be interested to see how it pans out. Just another merger in the outdoor world. Looks like we're going to be fewer and fewer individual companies, and pretty soon everything's going to be owned by one big holding company. So anyway, hey, next week, Thanksgiving show, I'm going to talk to Ken Fleming, who mentored me growing up in hunting, quail hunting, that is. Hope you got somebody. It'll be a good show. Hope you listen in. Hey, have a great Thanksgiving. As always, make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can.